Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for our choir. Our choir is growing, and I'm just so thankful to Sister Rosette and to all of the choir members for doing a fantastic job giving God the praise. Amen. Hallelujah. I really love Him. Way down,
gave me the victory.
Yes, Lord.
And
book of Nehemiah, we're going to tackle the last part of this message on the type of prayer that God answers. Nehemiah chapter 1, the sermon encompasses verses 5 through 11, but again, we will read verses 10 and 11 for your hearing on this morning, and you can read the rest of it when you get home. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, ushers. Now, I told y'all on last Sunday that there's a loaded statement there at the end of this passage when Nehemiah makes reference to the fact that the king, Artaxerxes, is just a man. And I told you that when it comes time to fight in this life, sometimes you will have to battle enemies, you'll have to fight against haters. Sometimes it's even folk in your own family that you have conflicts with. And since I threw that word out, let me pause parenthetically and invite all of you to join us on Wednesday nights for our Bible study. I don't know about y'all, but I had a wonderful time in Bible study on Wednesday night as we're talking about the peace of God. Amen. And the first lesson that we dealt with on this past Wednesday was conflict. If you're going to have the peace of God, you've got to know how to handle life's conflicts. Amen. But Nehemiah makes reference here to the fact that Artaxerxes, this great and powerful king, he says he's a man. And I said that's a loaded statement because the next sentence he says, I was the king's cupbearer. And in essence, what Nehemiah is saying is that I've been up close on him. I know, amen, what he does. I know some secrets that he has, amen. And at the end of the day, yes, he is the king, amen, but he's just a man. Oh, my, oh, my. And every believer ought to juxtapose your haters and your enemies and the folk that you have to contend with. You ought to juxtapose them against God. Amen. In a sermon I preach called A Word in Due Season, I talk about the fact that the writer says in that passage, He says that all flesh is as grass. And at the end of the day, what he's saying is that no matter what you have to deal with as it relates to people, they are as but grass, and God is eternal. See, sometimes when you're tempted to cuss folk out and, you know, get even with folk, you've got to remember that they may talk bad, amen, they may put on a big fierce face, but at the end of the day, they're going to die just like you. They're going to die just like me. So instead of looking at them and worrying about them, look to he who is eternal. See, y'all, I thank God that he taught me a long time ago that some folk, you, it ain't worth you coming down to their level. It's not worth you fighting them. Amen. Some folk you got to put in God's hands. And your pastor is here to tell you as a living witness that as big and as bad as they may think they are, in God's hands, they ain't nothing. Come on, do I have a witness here today? So don't let folk get you out of character. You better learn how to pray, amen. Because if you're going to pray the kind of prayer that God answers, your spirit has to be right. Amen. You've got to have love for everybody. Jesus said, even pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray and love those who hate you. Amen. And if God is going to hear and answer your prayer, there are some folk you need to ask to forgive you. There are some folk, amen, that you need to forgive, amen, if you want God to hear and answer your prayer. I told you that the first type of prayer that God answers is what? Sincere prayer, amen. Amen. Don't go to God just because you feel like going through the motions. No, you ought to go to him sincerely, trusting and believing that he can work it out. You've got to be sincere. When you turn to God, you've got to be sincere. But then secondly, we said that not only must your prayers be sincere, but you ought to pray reverently. You ought to, amen, reverence God in your prayer. We said that Nehemiah, when he prayed, he recognized, number one, the transcendence of God. Because he said, Lord God of heaven. Amen. Amen. And I hate when I hear folks say the man upstairs. No, he ain't the man upstairs. He's God in heaven. Amen. He recognized God's transcendence. He recognized God's majesty. And he recognized the faithfulness of God. But then we said that not only must you pray sincerely, not only must you pray reverently, but thirdly, we said that your prayers must be what? Honest. Jesus, and you really could take the model prayer that Christ gave the disciples and us, and you could find these same points in the model prayer. Remember when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, he said, when you pray, he said, say, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. That's reverence. He reverences God. Jesus, the Son of God. As he talks to God, the first thing he does before he asks God for anything is he reverences God. And I think we take worship too lightly. Some of us act like the only time we ought to worship is in church on Sunday morning. But if you want your prayers answered, you better learn how to reverence and worship God at home. I know I got two or three folk here whose work life demands that you got to get some prayers through at work. And so you better learn how to reverence God and worship God at work. Do I have any witnesses here today? Amen. You've got to worship him. But then to deal with the honest part of prayer, even Jesus, he said, when you pray, he says, say this, forgive me my shortcomings, my debts, my sins, as I forgive others. Amen. Ain't no need in you running up on God acting like you've been 100 all the time. You ain't fooling nobody but yourself. Ain't no need in you running up in here on Sunday acting like you're pure and holy and you're so righteous and you don't think bad thoughts and you don't do bad stuff. Everybody up in here from the pulpit to the pew, back it on up in the choir stand. We all miss the mark. We all have shortcomings in our lives, And if you're going to get a prayer through, you need to be honest with God about it. Amen? You've got to pray an honest prayer. But then finally, I want to leave you with this on today. Amen. The final type of prayer, and this is not an exhaustive list, but these are the things that I wanted to point out. The fourth type of prayer that God answers, amen, he answers sincere prayer, he answers reverent prayer, he answers honest prayer, but then finally, he answers believing prayer. Somebody said, if you're going to worry, don't pray. And if you're going to pray, don't worry. You've got to approach the throne of grace believing that what you ask for, God is able to handle it. Do I have any witnesses here today? I remember hearing this story about this community that was experiencing a drought. It hadn't rained in years, as a matter of fact. And one of the pastors got together and said, we're going to have a tent prayer meeting. We're going to come and get under that tent, and we're going to pray and ask God to send the rain. And I know some of y'all have heard this story before, but one night at the prayer service, this little old lady comes with her umbrella. Now, mind you, it hadn't rained in years, and one of the folk under the tent asked, said, why you got that umbrella? It ain't rained in years. Amen. She said, didn't the pastor say we were coming to pray for rain? Amen. If you want God to hear and answer your prayer, you've got to have a believing prayer life. You've got to go before him believing that he can heal that sickness, believing that he can save your children, believing that he can save your marriage, believing that he can help you pay your light bill. Come on, how many folk have been depressed and distressed because you didn't know how you were going to pay your light bill? Well, I come by to tell you that God is bigger and badder than Cleco and Beauregard Electric put together. He lights the sun in the sky every day and has been doing it for thousands of years. I'm just crazy enough to believe that he can help you pay your light bill. Where are my witnesses at? You've got to have a believing prayer life. When Nehemiah heard about the condition of Jerusalem's walls, he made himself available to God to do something about the situation. He was even willing to leave a white-collar job as a royal executive in order to go help them rebuild the wall. But Nehemiah knew that nothing would be accomplished in his own strength, in his own wisdom, in his own authority, no matter how willing he was. The success of the entire project rested in the helping hand of God. And my brothers and sisters, whatever you're dealing with today, I want you to know that if you will have enough faith to put it in God's hands, believing that he can handle it, I'm here to tell you that he will handle it. Oh my, oh my, oh my. The cupbearer was the most important cabinet position in the kingdom. And for those of you who may not know what a cupbearer did, the cupbearer was the one, amen, whenever before the king drank anything that was presented to him, the cupbearer would have to taste it first. So that if it had any anthrax or poison in it, amen, amen, the king would watch you take a sip. And if you were all right, then the king would say, all right, hand it here, amen. Amen, amen. So he was the king's guy. That means that he had a very trusted position in the kingdom. So Nehemiah couldn't just go into the throne room and tell Artaxerxes that he was taking a leave of absence. No, man, I need you here. Amen. I got to drink some water or something every day. And I need my trusted cupbearer here so that I don't find myself in a dangerous position. Ezra 4 tells us that the king had previously ordered that Jerusalem not be rebuilt. And Nehemiah now plans to go to this paranoid king and ask his permission, ask him for provisions, asking for protections to go and help his people rebuild a torn down wall. Y'all, all of the odds were against Nehemiah, but Nehemiah knew a king that is greater than Artaxerxes. And Nehemiah asked that greater king to make him successful. Oh my, I think that a lot of times we do our young people a disservice because we tell them that if you want to be successful, you got to go to college. And that's good. That's important. We tell them that if you want to be successful, you need to learn a second language. If you want to be successful, you need to get connected to the right people in the right places. But parents, grandparents, church folk, if we aren't telling them that if you want to be successful, you got to know Jesus. You got to be friends with Christ. You got to accept him as your Savior. Amen. That's where success lies. And so Nehemiah asked that greater king to make him successful. He asked God to touch the heart of Artaxerxes so that he would receive all he needed to get the Lord's work done. Read chapter 2 of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 2 and 5, he received the king's permission. In Nehemiah 2 and 7, he received the king's protection. I'm talking about answered prayer. In Nehemiah 2 and 8, he received the king's provisions. And the last sentence of chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "Now the king has sent with me officers of the army and horsemen." Nehemiah asked for a visa, but the Lord moved so that he got the visa and the brother got a security detail. The king gave him secret service. Oh my, I'm trying to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that if you will pray honestly, that if you will pray reverently, that if you will pray sincerely, that if you will pray believing, God will not only give you what you ask for. Is there anybody here today who can say he'll make sure your cup overflows? Come on, is there anybody here that got more than you bargained for? Is there anybody here who's living on the overflow? Amen. Not only did he give you what you're asking for, but he blessed you so much you're able to bless somebody else. Come on. Where are my folk when you were growing up? Folk told you you'd never be nothing. Folk told you you'd be poor like your parents. Folk told you that you'd never get out of the projects and you'd never elevate in life. But somebody ought to stand as a witness and say, "But look at me now. God has blessed me. God has done better than good for me, and I want to give him praise." He's able, I tell you. He's able. If you pray, and if you pray right, if you have the right spirit, if you set your affections in order as it relates to your brothers and sisters in God, I have come by as a living witness to tell you that there is no prayer you pray that God will not answer. And I'm talking about affirmative answers. Yeah, I know sometimes he'll say no. I know sometimes he'll say maybe. I know sometimes he'll say not yet. But if you pray and pray right, I have come by to tell you that God will answer your prayers in the affirmative. I'm talking about stuff you can't see a way out of, stuff you can't see your way through. But when you pray and pray right, is there anybody here who can witness that he will show up and answer your prayer? I'm so glad. I said, I'm so glad that we serve a God who is able. He is able to put your marriage back together. He is able to bring your wandering child back home. God is able to heal your sick and hurting body. God is able to straighten out your financial situation. God is able to save your loved ones. The issue this morning is not God's ability to move in the situation. The issue is, do you really believe that God is able to do immeasurably above all you can ask and all you can think? Are you willing to step out on faith? Jeremiah 3:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. I don't know what you need from God, but I come by to tell you that if you pray, and if you pray right, I am a witness that God will open doors for you. I am a witness that God will make a way for you. I am a witness that he may not come when you want him to come, but won't he show up right on time? If you know it, you ought to give him praise. I'm gonna close when I tell you about a family whose house caught on fire. The father led the family down the stairs, followed by his wife and 5 children. But while they were making their retreat, the youngest boy became frightened and ran back up the stairs, and the flames rose, making it impossible to come down the stairs. And so the little boy's daddy stood underneath the window up on the 2nd floor, and he called his son by his name. The son said, Father, I hear you, but I can't see you. The father said, that's all right. I want you to just jump out of the window. The boy said, there's smoke all in the room. Daddy, I hear you, but I can't see you. The boy's father said, that's all right, son. You can't see me, but I can see you. And the boy jumped out of the window into the hands of his father. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm so glad that I serve a God that even though I can't see him, he sees me. The songwriter said, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching me. That problem that I had that I could not seem to solve, I tried and I tried, but I got deeper involved. But I turned it. I said, I turned it. I turned it over to Jesus. And do you know what he did? He worked it out. Won't he work it out? Won't he work it out? Won't he make a way? Won't he open doors? If you know he will, come on and thank him. Come on and praise him. Come on and bless him. Come on and bless him. He's working it out. 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 This joy that I have, the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. Come on, stand.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.